This is Whitley Strieber's Dreamland 2010, our 10th anniversary year. Whitley Strieber's Dreamland takes you where others dare not go, to the limits of imagination and reality and beyond. Expert hosts like Peter Lavenda, Marie D. Jones, Ann Strieber, and Linda Moulton Howe, and of course Whitley Strieber, the world's leading authority on the unknown. Dreamland, welcome to the edge of the world.
Well, I am very happy to have Starfire Tour back with us again. Starfire has been a guest on Dreamland. She was terrific on Coast to Coast last November. She was one of the presenters at the Dreamland Stargate at Joshua Tree in October. She has become a close friend after plunging me and Anne into a number of completely verifiable time slip experiences simply by the virtue of being around her and listening to her talk about these things. I think that I've never been sure exactly what happened, why it was that they began to happen after we met her, or did we begin to notice them for the first time, and it's probably a mixture of both. In any case, today we're not going to be talking so much about the experiences of Whitley and Anne Strieber with Starfire Tour, but rather, I don't know if you've noticed this, I certainly have, but all of a sudden, there are a lot of people coming out of the woodwork claiming experiences as time travelers, most of which refer back in one way or another to the legendary Philadelphia experiment. Well, we're going to be talking a little bit with Starfire Tour about the Philadelphia experiment and just what is legend and what is not. And we're going to be asking ourselves a larger question. Why at this particular time would time travel suddenly become so interesting? Because the closer you get to a moment when time travel does become generally possible or generally understood, the more the presence of time travelers in the world comes into focus. Is that happening now? Starfire Tour's website is starfiretour.com. She's also got a very big presence on Facebook, but if you want to become her Facebook friend, you better hurry, because she's up close to 4,000 Facebook friends, and 5,000 is the limit. So run over there if you want to do that. In any case, starfiretour.com is a very cool website to visit. Welcome to Dreamland, Starfire.
Thank you, Whitley.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and we got to talking the other day, and I don't know, Starfire, how much you can say about that videotaping that we did. Whether it's confidential or not, just let me know. But if you can tell us a little bit about what we were videotaping, that would be great.
Well, I'm very pleased to be able to share that, along with Whitley and Anne Strieber, the Discovery Channel has a new TV series out. It's about time travel and time shifts and time slips. And in one of their episodes, they are featuring the Magic Castle time slip experience that Whitley and Anne Strieber and I had, and that Brandon Scott helped me to investigate. So if you go to my website, you'll be able to not only read the field investigation of the Magic Castle time slip and Whitley and Anne's original 2006 reports on it, but you'll now be able to see photographs from the Discovery Channel shoot. So have fun.
Well, Starfire, yeah, it was a very extraordinary experience, one which I, of course, initially had no idea was extraordinary until what happened, folks, for those of you who don't know, was really very simple. The Magic Castle in Los Angeles is a wonderful local institution, a big old mansion full of all kinds of secret passages and so forth, in which is a club for local magician, and they bring their friends there, and they have magic shows every night. It's quite an active and wonderful place, very special. We were there for the first time with Brandon, who is a magician, and Starfire, and we were going to watch his magic show. And Annie and Starfire went into the ladies' room, and I decided to wait in case Annie came out first, because the place was so complicated. I was afraid if she went looking for me, she'd get lost before the show, and so I wanted her to be right there so she would see me. And she came out, and another woman came out immediately behind her. A few seconds later, Starfire came out, and Annie was perplexed at the presence of this other woman, and I wasn't, because I didn't know that there hadn't been anybody else in this tiny ladies' room except the two of them, and they had, this woman seemed to have kind of appeared out of nowhere. And interestingly enough, later Starfire proved that she couldn't have been in there when she and Anne went in, because there was no room for her. There was nowhere for her to be hidden, and there were no secret entrances or anything. So then it was one of these strange time slips. And Starfire, I saw another one that I sent you a video of, and I'll put a link up to this video on the Dreamland homepage during the interview, so folks, you can look at it too. It's of a truck. This now, I taste that Starfire hasn't investigated this yet, but I just want your thoughts about it. Let's say, we know it could be a hoax. The video could be a hoax. We know
right.
that, and it's going to be very difficult to investigate because it happened in some kind of a tunnel in France, and but assuming it isn't a hoax, what the video shows is a truck going down the tunnel, apparently from some kind of a security camera in the tunnel, and suddenly the truck takes a tumble, but another identical truck seems to come out of the wall and knock it over, and they both crash. Yes, it may be a video hoax, but it illustrates something very interesting about time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is, Starfire?
Right. Well, if this particular video is what you see is what you get, then what we are seeing is two trucks, either the exact same truck or two very similar trucks trying to occupy the same space at the same time. And they are deflected from each other, and both of them are crashing. Now, as I told Whitley privately, the way that this needs to be investigated, and if anyone who's listening would like to participate in this investigation, please get in touch with Whitley and myself. First, of course, viewing the video, we want to know if there are any artifacts there that would tell us that the video has been manipulated. Any manipulation would tend to say that this is not a real video. Number two, if this is taking place in a French tunnel, we want to know which one. We want to see a map and other video of the tunnel to see if there is some sort of on-ramp just out of range of the video cam where that right-hand truck might have just come into the tunnel, and that's how it crashed. So if anybody would like to help with this, please do. It is intriguing. And if it's the real deal, that is a time shift created time slip that would be very similar to what we experienced at the Magic Castle time slip.
Yeah, with the difference that we didn't have a wreck. You almost did.
Well, yes, that's right. The woman and I had a near collision. And even though it didn't frighten me, it certainly concerned me. I did not want to touch this woman. I didn't know what it was, where she came from, but I was very aware that there were properties in motion that might be catastrophic if we connected. So we didn't.
Now, if you hadn't been there, Anne and I would never have known the time slip had happened. I take it back. Anne knew someone had realized the woman coming out behind her shouldn't have been there. I didn't, because I had no way of knowing that. I was just standing outside. My assumption was she'd been in the bathroom when you guys went in.
You were just an observer, just thinking that nothing special was going on. You were
right.
Watching your from atop the staircase, and I would not even have remembered what happened with the suddenly appearing mystery woman in the ladies' room had Anne not approached me as I left through the door and said, a lady came out. She didn't go in.
Yeah, and what Anne was the one who noticed this.
That's exactly. I mean, the Discovery Channel asked me, well, how would you wrap up your adventure in one sentence? And I said, well, when the evening began, we were all in one timeline. And at the end of the evening, we were all in another timeline. Now, and that's how timelines work.
What happens to the timelines? We've moved from one time. We moved then from one timeline to another. What happened in the timeline we left?
Well, that's a sort of a tricky question mark, because the science involved in a time slip, you know, there's not just one type of time slip. A time slip merely means that two or more coexisting timelines have merged in such a way that there is a level of consciousness on the part of the human experiencer or observer. So someone can have a time slip by suddenly finding themselves in another time period, and then they return, or maybe they don't return. There are a number of missing people cases with big question marks on them as to where they went. The type of time slip that we all experienced is the merging of two separate coexisting timelines of the same time period. So they're almost exact models with a slight variation, and that variation was, at its most simplistic, the time that Anne and I went into the ladies' room and the time that the mystery woman went into the ladies' room. There was a time crunch when the two timelines were merged, and the effect is what we all now know as the Magic Castle time slip.
Yeah, the mystery woman, folks, incidentally, turned out to not be a mystery. She was working that night at the castle as a photographer. We found her a few minutes later.
Right.
What did she say, Starfire? I forgot.
Well, I have a way of interviewing people who have experienced an anomaly without front-loading them or tipping them off to what I really want. So I needed to confirm in front of you and Brandon and Anne that we had actually had this near collision in the ladies' room, because up until that point, it was just my word. And all we knew was that a lady had come out right after Anne, but before me, and she was not witnessed going in. And by the way, that ladies' room door has a type of a hinge on it that it inches its way closed very slowly. So even if Anne, who was standing guard at that door, had somehow blinked or missed the woman going in, she would have seen the door was ajar for quite some time and probably the lady standing within, and none of that ever happened.
Well, we were talking outside the ladies' room for a few minutes before you guys even went in, and there was no evidence of anyone. I mean, if she had been in there for a while, if she was already in there, which she could not have been,
as we
discovered. Starfire, we'll be back in just a moment. Subscribers, there's an offer that may be of interest to you. If you're among the first 25 people to sign up for the Dreamland Festival, you'll get a copy of the 2009 Dreamland Festival DVD for free. It's always wise to sign up for the festival sooner rather than later, because it does sell out, but this gives you a particularly good incentive to do so right away. Today we're talking with Starfire Tor, her website, starfiretor.com. She's also on Facebook, and if you want to join her on Facebook, you better hurry, because I noticed her Facebook page is nearly filled up. It's a fun page, too. There's a reason that a lot of people go there. In any case, before we left the air, we were talking, just finishing up, talking about the Magic Castle time slip. And so, Starfire, go ahead and tell us what the lady said when you confronted her with this.
Right. Well, very conversationally, I said, oh, didn't we meet? Didn't we almost crash into each other inside the ladies' room? And she admitted. She said, yes. So this was very important, that here was my other witness to this event. But I also noticed that she was a bit dazed when she was there. In fact, I asked her if she was okay. She asked me if I was okay. We both said yes. She turned around and she walked out the door. So what was she even in there in the first place? So I asked her,
folks,
are you sure you didn't come through a secret door? Come on. You know, you work at the Magic Castle. She swore no, that she remembers walking into the ladies' room through that door. This is how I know that it's a time slip, This is confirmation that she has a completely other memory of this coexisting timeline where she walked through the door. Our memory of the timeline where we were is that she never walked through that door.
No.
But at some point, the timelines merge, and we're all together in the common infinite timeline.
Now, let me ask... Go ahead.
That's it. You can read more about it on the website and, of course, watch the Discovery Show.
Right. Now, here's another question. Before I met you, I had had one or two spectacularly unusual experiences of shifts, one of them a clear shift back into the New York of the 1870s or so, which I think my listeners are all familiar with. And if not, I'll just let me briefly say that on a street corner in New York, I once slipped back 100 years in what turned out to be a very shocking, unforgettable experience. Another experience I wrote about in my book Breakthrough, which where I took a turn and ended up in an entirely different reality with a little in my car with a little boy in the car I was taking to meet his father, and we eventually got out of it and came back. But Starfire, since we met you, we began to have more and more of these things, and they still happen from time to time. Is it that something is changing, or are we just noticing it because we know now what they are? What's going on?
Well, first, I believe that you are someone who slips in and out of various coexisting timelines because that's how you function. It's all about consciousness and brain, and now this could have begun with your experiences with the visitors way, way back when. Or even before that, probably as a child. There's something about you that allows for not only these incidents to occur, but for you to consciously remember them. And that's the key, because millions of people are actually experienced this very thing, but they don't remember. There is amnesia that veils across their brain and their memory. You don't have that marked amnesia. I don't. Now, Anne does not. We know that because of the Magic Castle. And once you have your initial time slip experience, your brain forevermore is now searching for other glitches in the program. That's how it works. So when people who are mutual time slip experiencers get together, like we are, you are bound to have, sooner or later, a group experience. Individually or all together, where these time slips occur. And that is exactly what happened. Now, around me, my friends will tell you that they just spend a little bit of time with me and they begin to have these experiences too, whether or not they're with me or not. So this is something that I privately investigate. Interesting virus.
Now, you have mentioned earlier in the show some cases where people have disappeared apparently in connection with this, which I can well believe. I can well believe it for two very specific reasons from personal experience. First, when I went back in time in New York on that street corner in Lower Manhattan that day in March of 1983, I realized after a few seconds what had happened, and I was absolutely fascinated. And I leaned down. There was a piece of newspaper in the gutter in front of me. And I leaned down and started to pick it up. And as I made the motion, a feeling like cold water going through my skin and through my organs of my body was very noticeable and extraordinarily disturbing and strange. But there came with it a loneliness so profound, it was like I thought, if I feel like this for another few seconds, I'm going to go psychotic. It was that powerful. And I just stopped. And something in me said, you touch that paper, you will stay here forever.
Right.
And Starfire, you're saying to us that sometimes people do stay there forever. Is that true?
That is my theory. I would have to actually go with them and to notate that they're there and they never came back by being able to go there and come back myself. There are just a number of cases that I've investigated over the years, and both historical as well, where there are a number of missing persons, missing legions of soldiers, missing squadrons, missing animals, missing homes. In other words, an entire home will just vanish. A piece of a property will just vanish. These are anomalies which I investigate. And always around these cases are paranormal activity. There is poltergeist activity, which is objects that come and go without there being a clear reason for it. So my theory is that with all of the anecdotal stories that we have, like the one you're telling, of people who suddenly find themselves in coexisting timelines and then they come back, there would have to be also people who have gone but did not come back. So
really fascinating and weird.
And
go ahead.
I just want to mention one more thing, and that is the importance of the Magic Castle time slip. There are many, many, many anecdotal cases of time slips, many, many of them which I have investigated, which I have deemed reasonable and authentic because the person that I'm investigating is reasonable and authentic. And some of the elements of the situation is reasonable and authentic. But the Magic Castle time slip is the only, repeat, the only time slip case, authentic group, that has ever been experienced, investigated, and published with transparency ever. It is historical. And it also, to any scientist who is studying multiple timelines, time travel, the string theories at its most basic level, must pay attention to this flux in the reality of our timelines.
In San Antonio, Texas, if you go onto Divine Road and you go off onto Dick Frederick Road near the 281 freeway, you will see on your right, moving toward the freeway, a little triangle of trees. For years, people have noticed that this little triangle of trees changes shape all the time. Anne and I used to notice it quite independently, and I mentioned it to a friend who lived nearby in Almas Park when we lived in San Antonio. He said, "Oh, yeah, everybody knows that. It happens all the time." What do you make of a thing like that? What does that mean?
You are noticing time shift activity where the timeline, the dominant timeline, has been taken offline. Elements have been changed. It's come back online. And we don't remember anything about this offline, online thing, except we notice these changes in our reality. And these changes are not because we weren't paying attention, although your brain will want you to believe that. You know, so if you have a group of people who have noticed this constantly changing shape of some stationary object, you are looking at something much larger, which is time shift activity.
It's fascinating, and that just happens to be a sort of a marker of it.
It's a marker. In fact, it's all we do have are these markers. I call them glitches, glitches in the timeline program. And if those glitches weren't there, we wouldn't have a clue that any of this was going on.
No, we sure wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't.
We're going to take another break. We're talking to Starfire Tour. Her website, starfiretour.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Whitley Strieber's Dreamland Online.
We're talking to We are talking to Starfire Tour. Her website is starfiretour.com. about time travel, time slips, and the strangeness of time. And one of the things, one of the reasons we're talking is there has been an outburst of people claiming time travel experiences, and very often these claims lead back in one way or another to the Philadelphia experiment. Starfire, you've done some quite interesting research on the Philadelphia experiment. Why don't you tell us what it was and what your research has turned up?
Great. Well, the first thing I want to say is that as I share this information, that I'm someone who absolutely believes that time travel is a probability. And in fact, I myself have been approached on a number of times by people who not only have said, oh, I'm a time traveler, but every once in a while, one or two of them does something that really makes me think, perhaps. But because we have these constantly altering timelines, and there are multiple timelines, time travel is probable. And for anyone who actually wants to know about time travel, it is absolutely essential that you are working with fact and not fiction. And you have to wonder, well, how does somebody be able to tell the difference between somebody telling a story if it's authentic or if it's not authentic, if it's disinformation or correct information? So I would like to share information about the experiment to show that it's a hoax and that faith in the Philadelphia experiment should be completely removed as evidence of time travel, and that anyone who is claiming that they were part of the Philadelphia experiment, well, they have to be looked at with some suspicion. And if anyone is associated with something that was an extension of the Philadelphia experiment, again, you should look at that person with some suspicion. And if anybody is supporting the Philadelphia experiment as being real, even if they don't ever claim being part of it, that person's credibility as having knowledge about time travel should be looked at somewhat suspiciously. And here is why. Now, the Philadelphia experiment was alleged to be this naval military experiment at the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard in the USA. And sometime in 1943, there was a U.S. Navy destroyer called the USS Eldridge. It was a cannon class. And this particular ship was supposed to have been rendered invisible or cloaked to human observers for a very brief period of time. And sometimes later on, it's been referred to as Project Rainbow. Okay. And the story also entangled Albert Einstein and his supposed success in this discovery of the unified field theory. Now, depending on which version of the Philadelphia experiment a person is coming across, including the unified field theory, it's supposed to involve electromagnetic forces and gravity, and by extension of that, this cloaking device, teleportation, and ultimately time travel. Now, in the most famous account of the Philadelphia experiment, which was introduced in 1955 by a man named Morris Jessup, this Eldridge was caused to become invisible, to teleport to various naval shipyards, to go back in time for a very brief period of time, and then to come back to the Philadelphia Naval Yard. The problem here is that, oh, none of it happened. Oh, and I might want to add that there was a crew supposedly aboard this ill-fated ship, and the crew either was nauseous or they would vanish out of thin air even when they were off of the boat, and some of them, so the claim goes, was even embedded into the bulkhead. Now, in 1955, Morris Jessup, who was an amateur astronomer, He published a book called The Case for the UFO, and it was a book about unidentified flying objects. And in this, he postulated that if Albert Einstein could get a really good handle on his unified field theory, then we could explain the propulsion of UFOs. Now, UFOs at this time were actually in the news. You could just go back to Kenneth Arnold in June of 1947 and the UFOs that he reported. You could go back to Roswell in July of 1947. You can go to the UFO flap over Washington, D.C. in 1952. So UFOs were actually had the imagination of the public. So when this man published his case for the UFO, it was popular. And he went around and lectured, and one day he received this communication from a man named Allende, who claimed, and then here is where the story of the Philadelphia experiment unfolded. Right then, right there, not one moment before 1955. Okay, keep that in mind. Now, how can anyone know whether any of this is true? So many people have come along afterward and said they were part of it, they know everything about it, they've explained the science, movies were made about it, it's referred to in TV shows and TV series and documentaries. Well, that's all well and fine. And by the way, I myself was very intrigued by it, very drawn to it, but I had to know. I research time travel. I research time shifts and time slips, and I have to know, can I rely on the Philadelphia experiment as proof of what the United States is up to in the military with time travel and teleportation? So what would I do? I decided I was going to find out what became of the USS Eldridge. If I could track that boat, maybe I could find some proof of what it had been up to. And what I discovered about the Eldridge, the DE-173, was that it was commissioned in 1943. It was in New York, never ever was in Philadelphia in 1943. And when it was decommissioned, along with three other sister ships, it was transferred over to the country of Greece. On my website, I have the documents and the photographs from 1951 of the Eldridge going into the Greek Navy. Now, remember, the very first we ever heard about the Philadelphia experiment was 1955. So I have documents from 1951. So the question here is, common sense, would the Eldridge have been sent off to a foreign country if it was ever involved in what was claimed the Philadelphia experiment was? And common sense tells you no. If the Eldridge had been involved in teleporting, in the crew being embedded into the bulkhead, would this ship ever have left the property, the hands, the ownership of the United States? And the answer is no. So, the Eldridge, who was transferred to Greece along with the USS Slater, the USS Ebert, and the USS Garfield Thomas, all served in the Greek Navy from 1951 to either 1991 or 1992. And the Eldridge, in fact, was decommissioned from the Greek Navy in 1992 and went for scrap. It was actually sold in 1999 for scrap to a company. You can find out all this information on my website. But what about Project Rainbow, that so many claim was the secret name of the Philadelphia experiment? Well, if there's no Philadelphia experiment, there's no Project Rainbow. There were rainbow projects in the military. In fact, the plans during World War II, there was a Project Rainbow, but it had nothing to do with time travel. Some thought that, well, somebody mistook the degaussing of the Eldridge for being geared up for this cloaking and time travel. And
yeah, because
you know,
there were efforts made using magnetism to make ships proof against mines, magnetic mines, by creating
absolutely
yeah. But go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Tegalkin
Starfire, we're going to have to take another short break here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Whitley Strieber's Dreamland. This is the Edge of the World.
This is Whitley Strieber. We're talking to Starfire Tor about time slips, time travel, and right now about whether or not the Philadelphia experiment even happened. Starfire, let's continue. It's fascinating listening.
Well, we're talking about the Tegalkin process. And this is something which is very important to ship safety. It is a process in which a system of electrical cables are literally installed around the circumference of a ship's hull, and it runs from the bow to the stern and on both sides, and a very measured electrical current is passed through these cables. And what this does is it cancels out the ship's magnetic field. Well, why would this be necessary? Well, when you do this in the hull of Navy ships, they could avoid having magnetic mines attached to the hull. It saves the ship from being blown up by these magnetic mines, particularly in shallow combat waters. I suppose if you really wanted to stretch it, you could say that the degaussing would make a ship invisible to these magnetic mines, but I don't prefer to stretch it. I just prefer that people understand that the Philadelphia experiment did not happen, and please, please, please dismiss the Philadelphia experiment. People who attach themselves to the Philadelphia experiment, and let's move forward with really discovering what is going on with time travel and our world, the editing of timelines and our world, and all the time slips and paranormal phenomena, which are also much of which is connected to time slips.
Yeah, you're going to get some arguments about this, boy.
I'm going to get some very, in fact, the most angry emails that I've ever gotten in my life has been when people have gone to my website and looked at the evidence. They don't want to hear it.
Right. They it's such a fun thing to think about.
I apologize for being the messenger, but really, this is about truth. I do believe that time travel, you know, we can find the evidence for it. I already have proven that we live in a world of multiple timelines. The timelines alter. Something is doing that, or someone is doing that. It could be time travelers could be involved, and I say could be involved, or it also could be a combination of a natural process that is involved. And I'm just asking for the world to move forward to release the Philadelphia experiment as a critical mass moment in time travel history, and move forward. And
now,
please,
what does that? Go ahead. What does that mean for the Montauk Project? Then they seem to be connected. Is that also a hoax? Do you think it could be? I have to tell you that when I first heard about the Montauk Project many years ago, I went out to Long Island. This is before the internet. And I did research, and the Long Island newspaper, I've forgotten its name now, it's been many, many years, because it was said in the book I read about it that children had been taken from all over Long Island and used in this experiment, and they'd been taken off the streets and so on and so forth. And I thought to myself, you know, back in the 50s, Long Island was not a big place. There were people there, but not in the millions like there are now.
Okay.
And there would have to be stories. It would have been a huge sensation if even one child had disappeared. I couldn't find a single story about it in any of those papers I rolled through about 5 or 6 years from, I think, 1950 to 1957 or six or seven. Never a story.
Oh. All right. Now that you've asked me that direct question, let me just say that when it comes to time travel disinformation, it can be either from willful intent or well-intentioned ignorance. Either way, it's extremely harmful. Montauk, those who have put out the story of Montauk, they do say that they are an extension of the Philadelphia experiment. So right then, you have to question, you know, what these so-called experiencers of Montauk are saying. I think that there are a group of people who are very drawn toward the idea of experiments done on children and time travel because, in fact, such may have occurred. I think that we need to look further into some other programs that have not been promoted, some of which I've been investigating for years. Whitley, you know, you yourself have wondered about this school of children.
Yes.
That you have a memory of and you've been trying to track down?
Yeah, I tracked down a couple of them, but they were unfortunately very, very reticent about it, about
right.
talking about it,
so,
I mean.
Right. So I do think that there are groups of people who are grown today, that is children, have had very unusual experiences. And I think that without the right guidance, I think that some of these people have glommed onto certain ideas attached to the Philadelphia experiment because it made them feel like they had found something that felt right and that it felt like home. But what I'm suggesting is that they've made a wrong turn and that their feelings are genuine, but they've attached those feelings to something which is disinformation.
Yes.
I have great big questions about Montauk. I do not believe that what has been claimed about Montauk ever happened. But it does not mean that some aspect of what has been talked about may have occurred, just not at Montauk and probably not those people.
Yeah, I went out to the old Nike base that they talked about, which was still there at that time. I don't know if it is now, but 20 years ago it was. And there was no evidence of any underground activity at all there. Nothing
well,
I could find.
Right. I mean, there are many excuses that could be made for why it's not there now. But people who understand the military a little more and how the bases work would understand that nothing like that ever, not only was it not done at Montauk, Montauk would not have been chosen. And there are great reasons why that is. And there are many other time travel, you know, claims, and I'm just asking people to revisit these claims. How many of them attach themselves to the Philadelphia experiment? And please, revisit. Don't give up your attraction toward time travel, your attraction to multiple timelines. Stay with that. But if you get rid of the Philadelphia experiment and understand why it was you were so attracted to it, then you can move forward with genuine and authentic information.
Which gets me to my next question, Starfire. Have you ever met a time traveler?
It's possible. Naturally, in my line of research, I certainly get a lot of contact from people who claim to be time travelers, and I have a lot of people who want to know my opinion of other people who claim to be, but every once in a while, I have met someone who can perform various acts that would have told me that they had information about timelines, future dates that actually came to pass. And that's a person that I would say I want to know more. But to this point, no one has ever approached me. No one has ever contacted me and proven to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that they could physically time travel. Now, I'm not talking about temporal time travel. I'm talking about physically can control by some means or another, can move from coexisting timeline to coexisting timeline, whether it's our preceding future, same timeline, or the past. But I would love to meet that person. I invite any authentic time traveler to contact me.
How would you tell if they were authentic or not?
I have a criteria which I will not publicly share, but I have a criteria that I have developed that if they can fulfill this criteria, I will know that they are authentic. And it's also possible that such an authentic time traveler may not want their presence known. I'll understand, and I will remain silent. But here is something that I also want people to know, and here is my philosophy. At some time in the past, present, or future, in some coexisting timeline, time travel was most likely perfected. Therefore, we either have time travelers here now, or they have been here and will be here again. That's just common sense.
Last question. You said just a moment ago that under certain circumstances, you would, if you knew about a time traveler and were asked to remain silent, you would remain silent. Are you remaining silent now about anything?
No, I'm not.
You're not.
I'm being
okay.
Very honest.
You're not concealing from us.
No.
Okay.
I'm not holding back a secret, but I am also not revealing the research that I've done with these people to test them out. And so far, no one has passed my criteria. I'm very, very tough about this.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to make a false claim in your court. I know you too well.
Now, I can make mistakes.
Of course,
but anytime if in my research I've been wrong, I will come right out and say, I now have more information about such and such, and I am changing my opinion. But so far, no. No.
Starfire Tours
nothing
website.
On the Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, go ahead. Go
nothing
ahead.
On anything that any supposed time travelers told me, and nothing about any publicly claimed time traveler that I would be excited about.
So none of the people who have come forward recently with public claims feel authentic to you?
None of them pass my criteria, and particularly on what the adventures that they share, this in no way passes authentic criteria. I'm just not going to mention names.
There've been a number of them lately. It's been kind of strange that... We've interviewed a couple of people, and there have been many other interview requests for people claiming to be time travelers, which is odd. What's odd about it is that before a year ago or 6 months ago, you never had any. Now they're there all of a sudden.
Well, I want to give those public proclaimers the opportunity to prove themselves. So that's why I don't want to make pronouncements, but I would very much like it if authentic time travelers, experiencers, or the actual people who can traverse time, the people who can do it in whatever fashion they can do it, I want them to come to me. I think they can see that I'm someone who would appreciate and understand, and I hope that I can talk them into revealing themselves. And I'll tell you right now, Whitley, you would be the person that I would talk to, and it would be your show that I would announce this on.
Well, it would be very exciting. Let's hope it happens.
Well, you know what? We are putting it out there. This is the challenge, and it's being broadcast, and that means that it can be picked up in a number of multiple timelines. It can be picked up in space, I'm assuming, at some point in time. So the challenge is out there. I can understand, I can appreciate, I can protect. But I also think that the time has come to tell the truth. And, you know, I am someone in my investigation of time shifts in the core matrix, I already know that there is no grandfather paradox. So I already know that somebody's saying to me, well, they can't come and talk to you because they're going to change the timeline. I already know that the science works in a whole other way. So that can't be pulled on me. A time traveler can absolutely come to me, can appear immediately, show me the science, take me there, prove it, and it's not going to mess up anything in our world because that's already happened. That's already out of the box. The horse has left the barn. Our world is so interwoven with the editing of timelines that our world is, I would say, a timeline myth.
And on that note, if you want to make real sense of this, go to StarfireTour.com. Go to her Facebook page. Get involved. The more you are involved, the more you notice time slips. And I can tell you from my own experience, they are quite, quite real. Starfire Tour, thank you very much for being with us on Dream.